introduce the first of tonight's speakers, Carl.
Hello everyone, my name's Carl, I'm an addict.
Hi Carl!
Can I bring this up a little bit, Shelley?
It doesn't go up any further. Okay. Take it out if you like.
No, I'm really self-conscious. Welcome to anyone who's at their first meeting, anyone who's new around. Lovely. And I just want to say thank you to the people of NA as well for getting me here. I didn't do detoxes and rehabs, I came straight into the rooms and got some prescribed medication. And I know how powerful this program is because I got off drugs where I started taking drugs, surrounded by people who were still taking drugs, people knocking on my door, people texting me, offering me drugs, free drugs, you know, that kind of stuff. And the only thing I had in my defence was this program. Nothing else worked. I'd seen therapists, you know, I'd been to churches. Admittedly, I would have a bag of gear in my pocket and a roll of foil in a bag. You know, I prayed on my knees. You know, I used to pray every night not to wake up to another day of misery. Of course, that prayer never came true, thank God. And my recovery started with a white key ring and a blue book. My illness, right now my palms are sweating, my heart is racing, I feel vulnerable, I feel exposed, I want to run, I want to hide, I want to be invisible in this room. And that's not possible for the next 12 or 13 minutes, so I'm going to have to write that out. And it's interesting because I know I'm sitting in a room full of people who suffer the same illness that I do. You know, and that's an illness that tells me I'm not enough, I'm too stupid, you know, I'm thick. I'm too fat, I'm too bald. You know, there's so much derogatory information and misinformation I get from my head. It really is, you know, and like most addicts I've met and come into contact with, I have a good heart, but I have a poisonous mind. And the only remedy I have for that is this book, this program, my sponsor, these steps, the traditions, you know, and all that stuff that goes with it. I don't always work a program. When it gets painful, I work my program. It's usually my process usually is when the pain of not doing something gets greater than the pain of doing it, I'll step up and I'll do this stuff, you know. My step work is not an accurate reflection of my recovery because my step work, I've been here 6 years, 7 years, and I'm up to step 11. And the reason I've, you know, what it reflects is someone scared of going back to where they came from. It's not, you know, I didn't come in here and embrace recovery. I came in here and for the first 3 years I sat at the back laughing because I was so scared, so anxious and just so nervous. I try to take myself a little bit more seriously today and you know, take other people's recovery seriously as well. And that ain't always easy because when I came in here and people was talking about I work in the field, I honestly thought that someone had a strawberry plantation somewhere. And everyone was getting work on this plantation except me. You know, when people used to talk about being exposed, I related that to something sexual, you know, and I would, I'd sit at the back on my own with my illness, you know, in hysterics. And that's not the case today. I can, you know, I don't like sharing the meetings. You know, as I said, I want to be invisible, I want to sit at the back and not be noticed. And, you know, and there was such an anxiety for me to talk at meetings that in the end I thought, this anxiety got so great. And what came out of my mouth, you know, was total insanity. So I made a conscious decision to come to meetings and not talk. And that served me well, you know, because then I had to listen. And when I listen, I learn. And when I learn, you know, I get a greater understanding of this illness, recovery, and how it affects me. I was trying to wonder what that noise was. It's me breathing into the microphone. The last time I came to this meeting, you know, like I said, it's you know, I'm not enough, it's never enough. I'd just come from a college course where I had to have elocution lessons because I couldn't talk properly. No one could understand me when I cleaned up. I'll say no one. You know, the extent of my vocabulary was, is there anything happening? How long? How long will you be? You know, waiting at bus stops for 7 hours, you know, ending up in A&E. You know, all that really kind of horrible stuff, horrendous stuff that we put ourselves through, you know. And I still struggle to love myself today, I've got to be honest. I really feel alright. I find it far more easier to do self-destructive stuff than I do find it to do, you know, loving stuff myself. But I'm getting there, aren't you? You know, it's a very slow process for me, and you know, and I think that's okay. I'm absolutely exhausted at the moment. I've just done 2 weeks of being around people, and I don't like to be around people. I like to be on my own. You know, in my using, I like to be on my own in at my place in the corner dribbling. And that was happiness for me. That was bliss. That was, you know, that was real. That was a really nice place to be. And I've had to kind of, because it's not all about me now, I've had to be there for other people over the last 2 weeks, and it's quite exhausting, it's draining. And you know, I feel, when I get exhausted and when I get drained and I've got nothing else to give, I get very sensitive. And when I get sensitive, I get very selfish. And there's no balance for me. I'm either kind of all or nothing. It's either, you know, I'm either giving everything to myself or giving nothing to myself. And I need to find that balance. Recovery. I'm even too scared to take a drink of water and stop talking now. No. Recovery for me means being accountable and responsible for my own recovery. This isn't a rehab, this isn't a detox. No one wants me to fill out a form, so I'm not, you know, if I don't do this work, it's me that suffers. It really is. It's my illness is quite, it's very powerful. It's more powerful than I am alone. And I need every single person in NA, and I need my meetings, and I need the steps to kind of get a grasp on what I'm dealing with. And, you know, I'm still not sure what I'm dealing with. All I know is the longer I don't use for, the more I'm confronted with why I used in the first place. And that slaughters me, because I just want to be normal. I do. I just want to be a normal person, living a normal life. You know, and that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen, because this illness will affect every area of my life. It will creep into my work. It will creep into my relationships. It'll affect my family, my friends, everything. You know, and it pisses me off. Apologies for swearing. I'm not supposed to swear down there. It annoys me that I have to do this work. You know, it frustrates me. You know, I don't want to do this work. I want to wake up and have a normal life, you know. And the thing is, this puts me on par with, I say, normal people. I'm not too sure what normal people are, because I've met lots of people who have never taken drugs and they could do this program. You know, when you talk about obsession and compulsion and, you know, acting on that compulsion, I know a lot of people that could do this. You know, my using was horrendous. It really was. And it's interesting, because when I first came in here, my using seemed like normal life. That seemed like sanity. And what you lot were talking about seemed like absolutely insanity. It really did. It just seemed absolute. You know, it was another language. I was overwhelmed with that. It scared me. You lot scared me. You know, I found it hard to believe that you lot were, you know, ever took drugs. What really scared me was a serenity prayer at the end, because I could never work out why people would look down when they pray. And it kind of scared. I thought, well, you know, if they're looking down, you know, who's their God and stuff like that. But I kind of went with it. I kept coming back. I've shown perseverance in doing this stuff, and it does. It takes a lot of, you know, it takes a lot of guts to stay here and do the work on yourself, to expose yourself to another human being, you know, and rid ourselves of some of the stuff that we carry. But, you know, a lot of stuff I carry is shame. You know, like I said, it's I'm not enough. I've been told that time and time again. You know, you're this, you're that. And, you know, and what I've done, I've probably lost my identity in that somewhere. I've listened to the people who have told me what I am and what I'm not. And I've, you know, because I'm not enough, I want to be like them. I want to act like them. I want to talk like them, you know, just so I can fit in and not have to be me. And, you know, and the reality is, what I know of myself, I'm a lovely person. Like I said, like most people in, I have a good heart with a poisonous mind. You know, this illness has affected my family. You know, I've got members of my family, thank you, Shirley. I've got members of my family who will never talk to me again because of this. You know, I've done horrendous things. Part of me wants to talk about it, and it's part of me that's going, don't be stupid, Carl. Don't grass yourself up in here. And that part of me is quite strong, and I'm trying to think of something else to say now. But like I said, I just the power of this program is absolutely immense. When you think that some, you know, I was on one of the greatest painkillers known to man, and this program and myself and the work we do and everyone in here has helped me to get to a place where I don't depend on drugs anymore. I don't need to wake up and take heroin. I don't need to wake up and smoke cannabis or drink alcohol or take any, you know, methadone, anything. You know, at the end of my using, I didn't even want a Subutex. I really didn't. I was sick and tired of taking drugs. Sick and tired of it. I'd worked through my using. It had cost me everything. It had cost me, you know, it had cost me jobs. It had cost me flats. It had cost me six down stuff. It had cost me myself, my sanity. It had cost me my family, some of my family members. You know, I feel myself getting quite emotional now. And that doesn't happen to me often. I'm one of them people who wants to cry in recovery and can't. Because if I cry, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. You know? The kind of person I am at the moment is that I'll either come over really passive, so you don't think I'm a threat and you'll be nice to me and there'll be no conflict. Or I'll come over quite loud and obnoxious, so you'll keep your distance. You know, and that's the kind of person I jump into. And there's times where I can be myself around people, and that's not everyone. There's times where I can honestly tell another addict, this is what's going on for me, this is what's in my head, this is what's happening for me emotionally. You know, and they're accepting of that. I don't, you know, the majority of the people I've met in here, they don't want anything from me. All they want is, you know, the majority of the people, I'm not saying everyone, but the majority of people in here have got my best interests at heart, which is really, really lovely. I remember when I first came in here, I could never work out what was wrong with me.
Could you give me 2 minute thing? Because I'll end up just going on all night.
I could never work out what was wrong with me, and it was... You know, I used to read books on CBT, I used to read books on by the Dalai Lama, and, you know, and I'd read these books, pick up the pipe and a bit of gear, and, you know, and God knows what, and I could never work it out. And then when I came in here, it was that one little phrase that was in a reading that said, one is too many, 1,000, never enough. It blew me away. It was that simple. I'd read, it's quite embarrassing, I'd read like 500 page books, do you know what I mean? The Feeling Good Handbook by someone or another, I don't even know who it was by. You know, so many books looked for the answer in so many places, and I found it here, in such a simple place. You know, that's a beautiful thing for me, that really is. You know, you guys have supported me, you've helped me, you've taken me to conventions, you know. Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing for me. That's amazing. You know, I've been able to come in here and expose, you know, thank you, Shelley. I've been able to come in here and expose that I deserted my family and that they've rejected me since I cleaned up. You know, and that's hard work because where I come from is, if there's any problems with children, it raises a lot of questions, and it's almost, you know, I failed as a father. That's the bottom line. You know, I came from a place where I failed as a father. I failed in so many areas in my life. When I came here and I done the first question on step one. In fact, when I completed my first step one, it was the biggest accomplishment I'd ever completed from the Green and Gold. In fact, it was such a great accomplishment that I actually done more academically and, you know, stuff internally in the first 2 years of being here than I ever had 36 years prior to coming here. You know, I accomplished more in the first year of here than being at school. And I kind of think as well that maybe if I would have had this stuff when I was, you know, 10 or 11 years old, my life would have been a lot different. I kind of think maybe I should have done this before I went to school, and, you know, things would have been a lot different, but that wasn't the case. Thank you all for letting me share. It's been an absolute privilege. I wish everyone the best in their recoveries, in your lives, your careers, your families. I wish you all the best. Thank you.